Yeah, 27 minutes after the hour on a Transcendent Tuesday. We welcome Dr. Don Clark to the he's not in the studio. He's in his mansion on the hill. Actually, it's in the valley. Garden Valley.
It's in the valley.
It's in the valley.
It's in the garden. It's in the garden of the valley.
Yeah. With surrounded by sleeping grapes now because they're dormant this time of the year. He runs Valle della Pace, which is a budding winery. That's kind of an agricultural term, budding. I threw that in there.
Yeah.
And so he's become a wine expert and really is doing a beautiful job with that vineyard and winery. But he's come here to talk about COVID today. He's a biochemist. He's got years of experience in pharmaceuticals, which is apropos to the topic today. And so we're glad he joins us. David Allen Punt is here, too, from the newsroom up in East Dakota there. Don, COVID is in the news. It's all over the news. Cases spiking in the U.S. They're calling it a new variant, something called XBB, which is very ominous sounding. It's a variation of the Omicron, which is a variant of the original. And I guess it's up in the Northeast in particular, it's like 75% of the cases. And then there are people that are complaining about flights from China being loaded up intentionally with people who have COVID because they like to spread it around. I think that's kind of a wacko conspiracy theory. But nonetheless, planes are arriving from China with an extraordinary amount of COVID cases on board. They're testing now in Europe. And there's news on ivermectin, and where do you want to start? Long COVID, I suppose we could start, because a lot of people have long COVID. And I've got news for you. You've had COVID, Don. David had tested positive at one point. I've never been tested, but Carol and I came down with stuff in California on the same day.
Oh, while you were there.
Same symptoms, and she has been tested positive for COVID a week ago. Now, they don't know. Then they took a blood test, and they said, we'll find out whether it's old COVID or new COVID by the antibodies in the blood check. So we're waiting the results, so she's kind of sticking around home because she's afraid of infecting somebody. But I figure I've had it, too. So we've kind of experienced this thing all together. We can talk about it with some knowledge. What is long COVID, and is it a real health problem, or is it made up?
Oh, it definitely is a real health problem, and apparently it is caused from the spike protein. You can get the spike protein two ways. You can get it from COVID itself. Because it's the virus was designed with spike protein a component on it, mainly so that it could infect human cells. How lovely was that? And so it's a protein that binds to ACE2 receptors on cells and causes all kinds of problems once it
well,
gets
it
into
handicaps,
your system.
Well, it handicaps your immune system, does it not?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that. It definitely handicaps your immune system. It causes your immune system to go early on, the first variant of COVID, the alpha variant, if you will. Most people died not from COVID itself, but from the immune response as a result of getting COVID. And so your body, essentially, the immune system went berserk, and you got a cytokine storm, and then you started to get these pneumonia-type symptoms. And many hospitals and everything were diagnosing it as pneumonia, not necessarily COVID. So they weren't treating the underlying problem, which was the cytokine storm caused by an overabundance, probably of histamine.
No, this is come to light in the 2 years since that the onset of COVID.
Yes, but there were doctors here in the U.S. and in Europe that were you know, suggesting remedies for all of this, because if your immune system is a little out of whack, then or greatly out of whack, as it was with some patients with COVID, then what you need to be doing is not giving them an antiviral at that point, because that's past the infective stage of the virus, but you needed to be giving them steroids to suppress the immune system and to calm it down, you know, a bit, so you wouldn't get the cytokine storm. And the cytokine storm would appear about a week after initial infection. So you would have the initial infection, of course, you get infected with a certain number of viruses. Those viruses then attack your cells, and then your cells start multiplying the virus.
So I want to ask, because this is my observation now. I've had these symptoms for 6 to 7 weeks, and if I had COVID, it's long past, because it happened in the beginning. But you continue to exhibit symptoms when additional viruses attack your immune system, right? I mean, so you can graduate from COVID and wind up with a common cold or flu, and there's something floating around called RSV. I don't know what that is, but it's another respiratory thing.
Yes, you can get other diseases can creep in, because, you know, you're all clogged up, and that's a perfect environment for bacteria to get an upper hand in your system, or other viruses to get an upper hand. Your immune system's already compromised because you've had COVID. Standard COVID, you know, you would have... most people, not everybody, it depends on how you get it. The first time I had COVID, and I'm pretty sure I had it twice, it wasn't too bad. I was, you know, sniffly, but I never did have fever. And when I tested myself, I didn't test positive for COVID, but had I waited a day, I probably would have. Mm. But the second time I had COVID, I was wiped out. I mean, I couldn't, I had no energy whatsoever. I felt fatigued. I had a fever. I was achy, and that lasted for about 3 days, and then it everything kind of collapsed and went away, fortunately. But there is some part of that lingers on. It could linger on for a week or two. And if you have long COVID, which, you know, some people do have, that can last up to 15 months post your COVID infection, initial COVID infection. And that's they think it's primarily due to the spike protein, and the spike protein then causes all of this havoc with your immune system.
If you get the vaccine and if you get boosters, you have more of those spike proteins introduced artificially.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in your body, if you're getting every time you get a booster, your body is producing the whole, especially these mRNA vaccines. Now, if you get, you know, not the mRNA vaccines, but another one, then you're probably better off than getting the mRNA vaccine. I mean, that's a whole nother subject, some of which we've talked about before. But you're just reintroducing the problem, which is the spike protein. So with the vaccine, instead of the virus making the spike protein, your cells are making the spike protein, because that's what the mRNA is coded for. It's coded to make the spike protein, which is the most toxic part of the virus. And so you're putting this toxin in your body, and your body is making it. So, of course, you're going to have some problems with that, and many of the problems have been, of course, the myocarditis and the heart conditions, the coagulation, the blood clots, tremendous blood clots people have had, reproductive system problems, brain fog, and all of this is due to the spike protein. in your body, and many other problems.
And these things come about as well from the Omicron variant, and now there's a variant of that called, was it XBB?
I think that's what, that's what you said.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. Mm-hmm. I haven't been following that as closely. But it's still a modification. Now, these variants, the reason why they're called variants is because there's variation in the protein sequence or the amino acid sequence of the spike protein. And so you started off with a pristine spike protein in the alpha COVID. SARS-2, variant virus, and then that some amino acids have changed as the virus mutates, and then you get the various variants that show up. Now, the good thing about the variants is that each generation of new variant that comes out, while it may be more infective, if you will, it is less virulent for the most part. Less people, should be dying from it than the original COVID. And we've seen that with the Delta variant and the Omega variants that have kind of sweeped across the globe, if you will. And I suspect that this new variant that is kind of spreading around will indeed be less virulent as well.
And according to this one article, the XBB variant, the microbiologists are saying that it'll probably peak like the others did in mid-January and then fade again. And we're seeing a lot of numbers across this country and around the world. And China right now is having a horrible problem. I've heard estimates of up to 60% of the population of China being infected and coming down with COVID, and particularly in Beijing and the other big cities. Apparently, they've got a real problem on their hands over there. Have you heard anything about that?
Oh, they do have a real problem on their hands, and that's why they started to lock down. I mean, physically locking down people.
Well, and apparently
in their apartments,
they've developed their own they've developed their own vaccine, which is not as effective as the Western vaccine. But they have refused offers of help with Western vaccines. So and I think that system, according to recent reports, is starting to break down in China. They're going to have to find some help.
Well, and our vaccines aren't going to be effective against it either, because it's a variant. And so our vaccines, the initial vaccine, was against the alpha strain, if you will, of the virus. And now we're well past that. And even the modified vaccine that has come out in the last 3 or 4 months, it's not going to be, it might be a little more effective, but it's not going to be all that much effective against this new variant.
So is this where ivermectin comes in, like in the latter
this
stages?
This is where alternatives, which have been suggested from early on, Dr. McCullough here in Texas, was one of the great proponents of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. You remember when President Trump suggested hydroxychloroquine might be a good use during the viral infection in the pandemic? He was pretty much put down and laughed at, of course, and mocked by the media and the left, and it turns out, it actually works. And ivermectin actually works, in spite of the FDA saying that it doesn't. But we talked about the study where the FDA looked at all of these studies, and about 50% of the studies said, well, it doesn't look like it's doing much, but you have to investigate how they did the studies. And if they used ivermectin late in the game, if they use ivermectin late in the game, then it's not going to show its effectiveness, because late in the game, your immune system is taking care of the virus, and now you're getting into that inflammatory response that I spoke about earlier. And no antiviral is going to be effective against the virus.
So are we prepared to say don't trust the FDA?
In this regard, yes, the FDA has been, and we've talked about this in other programs, has gotten in bed with the pharmaceutical companies, and there's been a mix of even staff from the FDA going to pharmaceutical companies and staff from the pharmaceutical companies going to the FDA, and lo and behold, it's an unholy marriage, if you will, and they're just promoting things that the pharmaceutical industry wants them to promote, and so anything cheap and effective, they're not going to approve.
Like ivermectin,
like ivermectin, and there's been over 60 plus studies now that have shown the effectiveness of ivermectin. And ivermectin is one of those. It's cheap. It's a cheap compound. It's been used for 40, 50 years. Has an extremely safety profile. It's one of the safest drugs on the market that you could take. And it can act as a preventative, and it can act as an antiviral if taken early in the course of your infection. So as soon as you have signs or symptoms of infection, you start taking ivermectin, and you take that with zinc, because zinc is it also is involved in the biochemical process of ivermectin and helping it to bind, let's say, to the spike protein.
So you say it also wards off infection, which means even if it's after you've had COVID and you're still suffering a few symptoms from that or some subsequent virus infection, ivermectin is still useful.
As an antiviral, not as an antibacterial.
I mean,
it's you need an antibiotic for an antibacterial. Mm-hmm. So, if your congestion and your clogged system, if you will, breathing system is due to a bacterial and a secondary bacterial infection, and the flu has caused this type of reaction, for eons, and we know that you can get secondary infections.
So the flu is bacterial then?
No, flu is a viral.
Okay.
It's viral.
Okay.
But because of all of the gunk that you have, in your sinuses, mm-hmm. that is a good breeding ground for a bacteria that opportunistic bacteria that can get in there. And then once the virus is taken care of by your immune system or other things like ivermectin, for example, then the bacteria can take over and you still are, highly congested. Mm. You either kind of have to wait it out or you take pretty heavy doses of antibiotics, which I wouldn't recommend on a regular basis to dampen the symptoms there. Or decongestants. Decongestants will minimize the amount of congestion that you have, thereby minimizing the chances of potentially getting a secondary infection.
Yeah. Do you recommend getting the home test COVID kits that you can get in the drugstore?
The government is giving out more home kits, by the way. And so I think you can get four more if you just apply, to the government's website.
I just paid $7.99 for one, and you can test one person one time with a kit. In my case, it said I do not have COVID. I just did that last night. But also makes clear in the instructions that it's really not that reliable.
It's not that reliable. It takes a lot of the virus for it to be detected. If you're just getting, if you're just getting the virus, you're probably not. It's probably not going to be positive. With me, the second time I got COVID, the first time I tested, it was a very, very weak signal. The next day, when I had fever, it was you know, it was a strong signal. So I definitely, according to the test, you know, had COVID. But oftentimes you get false negatives. And so you could still have the virus, but it's just not picking it up.
Okay, so you would recommend going to an urgent care facility or your doctor and having a test there.
Well, here's the problem. So now you know you have COVID. Okay, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do differently than had you known that, you know, this is probably viral. Maybe I should start taking a little bit of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine, in my opinion, I don't have the clinical studies to back this up, but seems to be more effective a little bit later on than the ivermectin. So the best thing you can do is take your vitamin. Make sure you're taking zinc, your vitamin C, your vitamin A, taking large doses, 5,000 units at least of vitamin A. Taking a gram, 100,000 milligrams of vitamin C, maybe taking that a couple of times a day. The normal stuff we used to do, you know, for colds, bad colds and stuff.
Something I've noticed I want to mention here, too, because we're on a vitamin regimen. And it's done wonders for our immune system, and we basically went without shots and stuff. And I think we fought off COVID successfully while being in the midst of it here. But in choosing our vitamins, we go to the vitamin store because it's convenient here, and we know the store now. But we've looked at multiple vitamins, but the dosage in multiple vitamins is so small that it seems to be useless.
You're not going to get what you need in a multiple vitamin. Mm-hmm. You need to go with, you need to find your vitamin C, 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligram vitamin C, and take that. Even with zinc, you need to be 25 milligrams, maybe a couple of times a day, or 50 milligrams. That's the dosage that most mm-hmm. people need to fight off infections. With ivermectin, you can take, by the way, ivermectin is a very good preventative of getting COVID or getting viruses in general, but specifically COVID, because that's what the studies have been done with now that we have enough data on it.
Ivermectin a pill, or is it
a tablet? Okay. It's a tablet. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, when it's prescribed to you, you'll get 3 milligram tablets. But if you just took 3 milligrams of ivermectin every other day, or maybe 12 milligrams or so, every 5 days or once a week, that would be a fairly good preventive to help you, certainly minimize the reaction that you're going to get if you do get the virus. But in many cases, I think the studies have shown that taken prophylactically, it is between 80 and 85% effective.
And it needs to be prescribed. You can't just go buy it.
You can't just go buy it. That's mm-hmm. correct. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a doctor who believes in the preventive nature of this. And during the cold and flu season, which we are in, of course, because the temperatures are rising and falling, especially here in Texas, this is when most of flus and viruses and colds show themselves anyway. And by the way, you're more susceptible to disease in the flu and cold season, that is the winter, than you are in the summer, because most people aren't getting out in the sun.
And getting out
in the sun is, of course, produces vitamin D. And so hence, in the winter, if you're not taking vitamin D in the summer, you certainly should take it in the winter, because it's the vitamin D that also helps your immune system and helps you fight off infections such as the flu and the cold and COVID.
Interesting. So let's say you can correct me at any point here. We're recommending a rather structured and rigid regimen of vitamins to keep your immune system in shape, and you should be okay. And if you're really afraid of contracting a virus and it's all around you, you're in an ocean of victims here, find someone who can prescribe ivermectin in 3 milligrams or whatever they happen to recommend, and take that regularly as well, at least through this season. And it should be about as good as you can do to protect yourself. In other words, locking yourself in your house and wearing a mask doesn't do anything.
Right, doesn't do anything. If somebody comes in with the disease and you have a compromised immune system, you're probably going to get it. Mm-hmm. So the better thing is, and also, quercetin, we've talked about quercetin before.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Quercetin's a natural compound. Mm-hmm. It acts like ivermectin, except ivermectin can get into your nasal passages and things, where quercetin's a little, can't do quite a good
and by the way job, we're taking that too, and you can get that without a prescription. You can just go into a vitamin
you can get that
quercetin.
Yes. You can just go to your health food store or maybe even your grocery store, but get you can certainly get it online. Mm-hmm. Get some quercetin.
Q-U-E-R-C-I-T-I-N, something close to that.
Quercetin. Q-U-E-R-C
T-I-N. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a greenish powder stuff. It's in capsules, and it's not expensive, so.
It's a natural plant derivative, actually. And some of your fruits and vegetables have quercetin in them.
Okay. Mm. Well, we've kind of covered it, and I don't know how many subsequent variants of COVID we're going to see through the years, but I guess it's something we're going to have to live with, just like we live with the flu and with the measles and with the mumps and all those other things. So it's good to be informed, and it's good to get information from somebody who knows what he's talking about. That's why we value, Don's just a good friend. We would have him here anyway. Even if he knew nothing, we would have him here talking to him.
I know nothing.
Yeah. But fortunately, he's a really bright guy, and he's been a big help to a lot of people. And you can check the history of our podcasts on COVID and other topics on the website, brokenroadradio.com. Go up there to podcasts and click on his name. You'll see them all chronologically arranged with a little short description of the topic. We spent a lot of time on the book of Genesis and biblical creation. Don is also a member of the board at Creation Moments, so I want to let you know that. That's creationmoments.com is their website. And we recommend you pay them a visit, too. Don, thanks very much. I feel so up to date now. David, how about you?
I thought for a second Jim was going to add that even if you knew nothing, because we still have David here.
We still have David here.
And he doesn't know anything.
Prime example. Yeah, seems to work for us,
so there you go.
David. Yeah. Well, the world is your oyster when you have the internet,
I think
and
so.
You can do a lot of searching.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, okay. Don, you have a great week, and we'll look forward to you in about 7 days, and we'll see what we're going to tackle twixt now and then. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Y'all have a blessed week.
You too.
Yeah. You have a good week, Don.